This morning, I am going to be preaching on the text that Kaylin read so beautifully before. And I'm going to read it to you again. This passage comes from Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 16, and can be found in your Pew Bible, page 705. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I appeared in this pulpit almost 7 years ago, I was sent some bulletins so I could see what the order of worship was like here at First Congregational Church. There were a couple of things that were a little different. I came from a congregation, and indeed a tradition, where we used trespasses in the Lord's Prayer, and I think after 7 years, I finally got it down pat to say debts. But one of the things I found very comforting was that the order of worship here was actually quite similar to what I knew coming in. Things were in the same places, and there even was an epigram on the bulletin. We had that back in my previous congregation, and I liked that tradition of providing a thought or an observation or just some insight that people could read and think about and meditate on. Gives you something to chew over. So today, in the tradition, I have included an epigram that is related to the scripture passages and the sermon topic. If you haven't seen it, I'll read it to you. "If only God would give me some clear sign, like making a large deposit in my name at a Swiss bank." Now, that bon mot was from Woody Allen, who is not someone I normally turn to for moral direction. And indeed, Woody Allen has made it known that he is an atheist. But I thought that this quote was worth spending a few moments with because it seems to sum up the way we moderns look for signs from God. Think about what Woody is saying here. "I want a sign that improves my situation. Some cold hard cash put in the bank, it'll be great." And it also seems to involve no real demand on him. There's no disruption to his life. It's all sort of an arm's length transaction. That's not what Scripture has in mind when it starts talking about signs from God. Whether it's the sign that we see given to Joseph by the angel, or the sign that is discussed in Isaiah. Now, Ahaz was facing some challenges as king of Judah. Around the year 730 or so, the empire of Assyria in the east was really hitting its stride. This was the first great conquering nation state. And a couple of little kingdoms nearby that we've mentioned before, Syria and Israel, thought that maybe if they all banded together, they could stand up against the Assyrians. And so they went to Ahaz, king of Judah, and said, "Why don't you join us in doing this?" Isaiah was a counselor to the king, and his advice was, "Do not go near this. Stay away. don't put your trust in these politicians, but instead put your trust in God. That's simple. Trust God. It'll all work out. And Isaiah, wanting to provide some encouragement to his monarch, encourages him to ask for a sign, any sign he wants. I mean, think about it. He says, let it be as deep as Sheol, that's the bottom of the earth, or as high as the heavens. Ask for anything you want as a sign, and God will give it to you. But Ahaz demurs. He says, I don't want to test God that way. Now, that all sounds very faithful, doesn't it? And indeed, in Deuteronomy, we learn that people aren't supposed to test God. The problem is, we know from 2 Kings that Ahaz was not a particularly faithful man. He liked to worship pagan gods and indeed sacrificed his son. So this is not a paragon of religious virtue. So, why not ask for the sign? Well, perhaps it's because he didn't trust God. He didn't think he could do this. He didn't think he'd get a response. And we know that Ahaz was smart enough not to go into an alliance with the neighboring kingdoms of Syria and Israel, but instead he threw in his lot with the Assyrians, who came and destroyed the neighbors and then basically made Judah into a vassal state. Isaiah didn't have much use for Ahaz's lack of faith. But he wanted the king and he wanted the people of Judah to know that God was indeed going to be faithful. So he tells them, you're getting a sign anyway. And it's going to be in the form of this baby that will be born to a young woman. It will be called Emmanuel. Now, we all know that the church reads this passage and believes it is a prophecy foretelling the birth of Jesus, but Isaiah was not thinking about this. Isaiah was dealing with the problems in his own time and place. Now, prophets like Isaiah and Hosea and Micah had habits of naming their children odd things. They used their kids as symbols, as markers. And so it's quite possible that the young woman who was going to give birth to a child was Isaiah's wife. And he names his kid Emmanuel, God with us. Now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? When we think about God being with us, what are the images, what are the words that come to mind? Perhaps comfort, assurance, support, those things I talked about with the kids during the children's moment. Someone who's with us. But it's not that easy to have God with us. Because having God with us can be challenging, and it can be disruptive, and it can upend all of our plans and our priorities, because all of a sudden, we've got to start paying attention to our choices and our values and the things we want to do. When we have God with us, we should be leading our lives in a particular way. And that it's not always easy. Ahaz didn't want to do it, so he said no thanks to the sign. But here we learn something important about signs. They're not about us. They're about God. God making a statement, God making a commitment, God making an assertion. And in this child, Emmanuel, and the church believes in the person of Jesus, God is making a commitment to to be present among us. Not to fill our bank accounts with lots of cash, but to be with us through the good times and the bad, through moments of joy and through moments of pain and suffering. What would it be like for you or me to ask God for a sign and to actually have it appear? I suspect I would be freaked out. And that would be the appropriate response. Because God isn't some cuddly little being. God is the creator of the universe, who goes to the trouble to know each and every one of us, and to love us, and to care for us. And our Christian faith tells us that he came to us as an infant and chose to live as one of us and to die as one of us. This coming Saturday, when we gather together for our Christmas Eve services, we will be celebrating this sign from God. And when we come to worship, we should be a little uneasy. We shouldn't feel fully prepared for what God is doing. Because the events in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, which still shape our lives today, were transformative. So, no money in the bank, sorry. But I can offer you a promise that we have received a sign, and you can contemplate it by looking at the manger, by anticipating the arrival of the Christ child this Saturday, and indeed, reflecting on and celebrating the arrival of the Christ child already. Long ago in Bethlehem and here in this place.